Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
So you've done all you can to prepare for the flu season. You know, you've gotten your vaccine, you take your vitamins, you're using hand sanitizers, but maybe that might not be all you can do, and maybe some of the clues might lie in your kitchen cabinets and refrigerator. My guest is president and founder of Nutrition House called David Grotto. Welcome to the show, David. So, foods that could help us fight the flu, are there really such things?
It's not only great foods, and by the way, thanks so much for having me on. It's the practical advice that we've heard certainly from our doctor, I think, is the first and foremost thing we should talk about. Make sure that you're washing your hands. Cover your face if you're coughing. Don't kiss Aunt Martha when she comes over for the holiday dinner, because especially if she's got the flu bug. You know, of course, you can go ahead and kiss all the relatives you want to. But if they've got the flu, you want to make sure you're careful. But there are some great foods that I'd love to share with you today that you can find in your kitchen cabinets and your refrigerator that can help, hopefully, decrease the risk of ever catching a flu.
Okay, so what are some of those?
Well, we heard about good old-fashioned chicken soup. You know, whether you want to call it Italian penicillin, Jewish penicillin, doesn't make any difference. There are compounds in chickens that actually can help with reducing influenza. So there's some research that actually supports that. Plus, one of the other things that's really critical is when you do catch the flu bug, you want to make sure that you're pushing lots of fluid. So this is a great way of increasing fluid that's nutrient-packed. You've got some great collagen and protein that actually helps with building the immune system and helping to shorten the duration of influenza.
That's great. I do love my chicken soup, and I must admit, I make the best. This side of my mother.
Well, there you
this
go.
This side of my mother, anyway, she used a pressure cooker. A little different, but okay. So what about, you know, some other foods? Because people have talked about the antioxidant properties in certain vegetables and fruits.
Yes.
And is there something to that, to helping boost our immune systems and helping us kind of get over it a little bit better?
Well, there is, you know, and again, I'm not trying to make chicken soup the one. Other companion vegetables that we usually throw in a traditional chicken soup, like onion and garlic. There are sulfur-containing compounds that have antibacterial and antiviral properties to them. So it's not just keeping people away that you don't want them necessarily get too close to because of the odor of onion and garlic, but there are immune-building properties as well. And the secret is when you're making chicken soup or any other dish that you're going to add garlic to really experience the full antibacterial and viral properties, what research is suggesting is that you don't want to cook the garlic to death. So use garlic and onion as you would normally put into your recipe, but right at the end, as you're getting ready to take it off the stovetop, crush in about an extra garlic clove and add it right before you take it off the burner, because heat can actually destroy some of the sulfur-containing compounds that actually help fight the flu bug.
Wow, that's great advice. Now, what about fish, oysters, or salmon, things with good omega-3s, or is there something else in the fish that's helping us?
Yeah, omega-3s are great for helping to reduce inflammation as far as the literature goes for it helping to stave off influenza. Not so much. However, as a strategy to build up your immune system to avoid the common cold and flu bug, I think it's a great idea. Salmon, in fact, in my latest book called The Best Things You Can Eat, actually has the highest level of omega-3 fats. Now, you can get wild-caught salmon. That's certainly a good source of omega-3s, but truth be told, believe it or not, farm-raised salmon actually has higher levels of omega-3s because that has a lot to do with what the fish are fed. But either way, it doesn't make any difference. Either source would be great. Tuna, mackerel, sardines, herring, all the fatty type of fish are the ones that are rich in omega-3s.
Now, I know an underappreciated vegetable is mushrooms, but mushrooms do have some real good health benefits.
Well, mushrooms are a great vegetable because they have lots of nutrients for very little calories. So there's a term that's tossed around a lot called nutrient density, and that is the epiphany of nutrient density. So I can tell you in my nearly 30 years as a practicing registered dietitian, nobody ever got fat from eating too many mushrooms. You can use that to fill up on and save a lot of calories, which is absolutely fantastic. Mushrooms are very rich in a substance called beta-glucan, which not only helps build your immune system, but research is suggesting that beta-glucans may work almost like a sponge on cholesterol in helping to reduce risk for cardiovascular disease.
See, the benefits of mushrooms that people don't even realize. What about tea? We hear green tea, black tea. Is there something in tea that will help us? And is green better than black or vice versa?
Great question. Well, green tea, black tea, white tea, first of all, comes from the exact same plant called Camellia sinensis. Green tea actually has a, this actually refers to a fermentation process that happens with the tea, and it does have antiviral properties more so than the black tea does. So there is research that shows that green tea not only helps with fighting the influenza virus, but may be also helpful in combating herpes simplex, the tobacco mosaic virus, enterovirus, rotavirus. Boy, I have a little, my daughters are now all grown, but I remember when my oldest daughter was a year old, she was cut to the quick with rotavirus and just horrible diarrhea and vomiting. Green tea may be very effective for that.
Okay, what about yogurt? We hear about probiotics and how they can help, you know, our intestinal flora and help keep our immune system, plus, you know, really help the intestines and regulate us, but can they help our immune system as well?
Well, in fact, the secret to a healthy immune system and apparently a lot of other different things that regulate metabolism and signaling to the body may have a lot to do with the microflora that occurs in our digestive tract. So it's important to keep that largest immune organ in the body healthy, which is the digestive tract, by eating foods that are fermented. So if you like yogurt, I love to go old school, and that's what I usually do. I don't generally take a probiotic supplement. I just eat a good, healthy yogurt. Doesn't have to have a bunch of extra strains of bacteria added to it. You know, just good old-fashioned yogurt does the trick. If you're someone who doesn't like yogurt, the Korean pickled cabbage called kimchi is fantastic.
Love kimchi, so good.
Kimchi all day long with some nice bibimbap. Oh my God, I'm starting to salivate now.
Yeah, boy, that sounds really good. and you know, sauerkraut, kimchi, you know, any of those fermented.
Miso. Absolutely. All of those are traditional fermented foods from around the world, and that does seem to be the secret to good health. So take good care of those bowels.
Now, one of my favorites, dark chocolate.
Yes, dark chocolate is very rich in cocoa flavanols. Now, believe it or not, and I'm not going to mention brands, but you don't have to go around the world to get the finest imported chocolate to get cocoa flavanols. And in fact, ironically, it seems to be chocolate grown, well, not grown here, but packaged here in the good old United States of America that seems to have the highest levels of cocoa flavanols. So you don't have to spend big bucks. But the truth of the matter is, if you want the richest cocoa flavanols, which are fantastic for not only helping support a good immune system, but for also reducing the types of inflammation that can contribute to heart disease, to diabetes, to cancer, get cocoa powder and add that to whatever foods that you want to incorporate it in. So don't eat more candy bars, but add cocoa powder.
That's great advice, because you can really add the cocoa powder to so many things, just like a seasoning, in the last 20 seconds. David, give us your best advice for fighting the flu and building our immune system with food.
Well, one of the biggest secrets, I think, for fighting influenza is a berry called the elderberry. And you can pick that up at the natural food store, because it's hardly ever in season here now during the wintertime. But elderberry helps fight both strains of influenza. It's fantastic.
Fantastic. That is great advice. And you heard it here right on Radio MD. Remember, you can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.